Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
Right now, we're doing something really special.
Of course, it's that time of the week. It's hump day. We need a little bit of a pick-me-up, if you will. And Gina Bonfietti is exactly what we're looking for. She is a piano technician. She's from Milford, who took a piano that she says just wasn't good enough to keep using in the Milford school system. So she came up with a new life for an old instrument, and that makes her this week's community inspiration.
Well, let's make an outdoor piano to put on the green and so that everybody can enjoy, and we'll see how it goes. We'll waterproof it and get an artist to paint it and make it something for the community to use and love, and hopefully it'll last.
And this is something that we've never seen at the green before. So what are you hoping the community gets out of this?
I hope they get the sense of community, the sense of music. I hope little kids pass by and say, wow, that's really cool. I want to learn to play the piano. And I hope it just brings people out to enjoy music. It's going to be placed on the green. It'll be open for anybody to play. And I'll be keeping an eye on it throughout the summer to see how it's holding up and what I can do to keep it moving and keep it functioning.
What is it about the piano that you personally love and you hope other people, if they don't play piano now, can fall in love with?
It's something that doesn't need electricity. It's something that you can play during a power outage. It's something that sounds beautiful whether you're a beginner or you're someone who's been playing for 80 years. It's just something that is a beautiful thing. And, you know, I've serviced this particular piano that we're going to do the work on since 1991. My dad serviced it before I did. And, you know, it sounds corny, but I have a relationship with every instrument I tune. I've known this piano for a very long time. We've spent a lot of time together. And it's just a beautiful instrument. Even though it wasn't up to par, it's still a beautiful instrument that wasn't ready to go to the dump, but it's still ready to make music and make people happy.
Gina Bonfietti, who is on with us to talk about a piano that you basically are taking something old and you are recreating it into something kind of new, but able to stay outside where hundreds, maybe thousands of people can enjoy it throughout the summertime. I have to imagine that's a lot of work. You were able to weatherize it so that it can last outside. Tell us about the work that went into that.
I started with a phone call to a gentleman in Iowa who's had a piano that lived 3 summers outside, and got some ideas from him on how to weather waterproof. What worked and what didn't work. It's being painted inside and out. The keys are being modified. I've drilled drainage holes in it. I have glued parts that might come undone, and putting plastic on the back of it, put weather stripping on the inside of it. And, you know, like I said, I'll be keeping an eye on it on a weekly basis to see what I need to modify and how I need to change it to make it so it keeps going. If it's something that we can keep and use for next summer, I will put it in my garage, or if any place on the green would like to have it, that is a possibility also.
Why take the time to do this? Obviously, you do this professionally, and music means an awful lot to you, but I have to think there's something personal behind this, that you felt taking something that not only has already helped the community, but something that belonged to your dad and is something very precious to you. Why share that with Milford?
I have been on service trips to Vietnam, South Dakota, Mexico, and I always felt like, wow, I wish I could do something in my neighborhood, in my town. And then it hit me. It's like, yeah, I can do this. I have the ability to do it. And I thought, you know what, why not? And it's great to give people the opportunity to participate. And I just, you know, I really hope that it gets played and it gets used and it gets loved like it should be.
And she hopes to keep the piano in good shape and functioning until mid-September, so kind of plenty of time to go and check it out. She's hoping that they will have it ready for the public to go and enjoy it by next Friday. And it's right there in the middle of the Milford Green, first time ever that they've had a piano outside. So I'm definitely going to go see it and play on it.
Okay, and I'm just bringing this up. I'm not trying to pour water on the fire or anything like that, because it's a great idea. But what about the weather? When the piano's out there, what about the weather, the rain, the snow, the wind? It could wreak havoc on that piano, no?
Well, so that's the thing. She's never done this before. It's a brand new concept to Milford in general. But she is, like I said, a piano technician. She weatherized it. So she said there are going to be things actually when you play it that are not going to seem like your piano at home. For example, the keys. She was saying when you play the keys, they're going to feel a lot heavier. They may not, you know, press down as easily as the ones that you would play at home, because she's she's recreated some of the parts of it so that it can last in rain or sleet or things like that. Also, the reason she plans on getting rid of it by early fall, late summer, is so that it doesn't have to endure the snow or anything like that. So it is only going to be there for the summertime. She plans on checking on it every week to make sure that it's, you know, it's holding on. And if there is something that breaks, say that a key is out of place, Tony, or there's a piece of wood that breaks or something, she is going to go out and replace those things and keep it going. And she feels like if it's in great shape by the end of the season, she'll store it in her garage. If it's not, she said it was a really great project. It was a great way to give back to the community, something she's able to do, the music industry. And she said she'll be able to salvage the pieces she can, and the rest she'll have to get rid of and recycle.
Interesting.
It's 9:30. Do you know what time it is? It's time for the Coffee Break Chat on WICC.
All right. Every Wednesday at this time, we try to catch up with Bridgeport Mayor Joe Ganim. And Mayor, it's good to have you here. How are you?
I'm well. How about yourself?
We're doing pretty good.
Yes, you are. It's great to be on with you. It's great to be on the regular.
Well, thank you so much. We're glad to have you as a regular part of the show. We only have a few minutes, so let's get right to it. First question, Governor Lamont, he thinks that the casino is a good idea. He'd like to see it here in Bridgeport. Your thoughts on that?
No, of course. I think that there's an opportunity. I think so. There's some timing now that if people can come together, certainly the state has some kind of global issues about how this could be approached. We locally in Bridgeport, I think, want to see it happen. We want to create jobs. That's what it's about. So hopefully we can look at this. There's a possibility of something in a special session. Special session means the legislature comes back in and votes on certain things, and we hope this might be one of them if things can come together between now and then. So I'm excited about it, but cautiously optimistic, and I want people to just kind of like keep an eye on things because we've been on this roller coaster before, and I don't want to take Bridgeport through that again.
All right. Well, Melissa's here as well. Melissa, what do you have?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think this is at least a little bit better than what we were seeing during the legislative session, though, Mayor, because at least it seemed like he kind of nixed it right away and thought, nope, this is being put together very last minute. And at least this kind of seems like he's open to the idea and it could be more of a possibility. And I think sometimes when you look at it, we're talking about a small scale casino, right?
Well, first, the governor's been great on this and on issues that are important. I think the cities in general and in Bridgeport and the legislature, our delegation really stepped up. We have a lot of really good people in our legislative delegation, and they kind of made a real good point that they care for the state and they're going to fight for the state as a whole, but for Bridgeport and this region particularly. So I want to compliment them. Yeah, I think that there is. Size has got to be size according to, and I agreed with this, market study. So I may think it should be size X or extra large or double extra large or medium size. There's going to be a market study, and I agree with whoever's going to put it in. They want this thing to be successful. We all want that first day where we get to cut the ribbon or put the shovel in the ground and see it open and be excited. But a year, two, three, four, five, six, we want to make sure that it was sized right. And if it's not the largest, some people just say, oh, bigger is better. There's always a thing called first phase and second phase. In Bridgeport, I think everyone recognizes, offers, and continues to offer, strategically, geographically, population and workforce-wise, probably the best location that anybody knows of. So I think we have a real opportunity here. I look forward to kind of working with all. The Speaker of the House has been great. Leadership in the Senate, meaning the State House and the State Senate. So let's keep pushing.
We're speaking with Mayor Joe Ganim. Of course, he spends a few minutes with us each and every week here on a Wednesday. There's a fundraiser tonight for Charlie Coviello. I know Charlie not feeling well these days. What's going on with that, Mayor? I know you want to maybe promote that, right?
Yeah, just a good man. Been a civic leader, someone who's made a contribution and continues to make a contribution on every level in parts of the city, in the East End particularly, but throughout the city, kind of respected and endeared all around. So he's having a tougher series of days here. Councilwoman Anita Martinez and others are kind of banding together, and we're going to support any effort we can to help Charlie Coviello. Just a good guy. You know, you come across some people, whether it's in politics or in life or in business, that are just good guys. He's just one of those kind of good guys. Seems like he's always looking to help people.
And Mayor Joe Ganim, our last question before we let you go. Pride Month flag raising and celebration is actually happening at noon today. Talk to us about what we can expect from that.
Yes, LGBTQ flag raising ceremony and celebration. Kind of happy to do this, of course. It's going to be a good thing at noon today. We've got the flag raising, which is good in and of itself, but guest speakers, Bridgeport coming together to recognize Pride Month with so many leaders to celebrate. So I'm happy about that. So anybody who wants to come out, if you're on your lunch hour, come down and join us at the flag raising at noon today.
Sounds good. Mayor, we thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us here this morning. We hope to talk to you again next week.
Don't forget, we got a lunch plan someday.
Yes, absolutely.
We're going to Steel Point, aren't we?
Steel Point.
I'm
excited.
If
we can get a reservation. I hear the line's an hour and a half long. But
oh, no.
Yeah, but wait a minute.
You're the mayor.
Exactly.
The end of the line.
Yeah.
The end of the line.
Dang.
Some things that happened on this date in history. 1939, the Baseball Hall of Fame opened in Cooperstown, New York, where legend has it that baseball was invented by Abner Doubleday exactly 100 years earlier. Now, the first players inducted included Babe Ruth, Ty Cobb, and Honus Wagner, not to mention Christy Mathewson, Walter Johnson, Grover Cleveland Alexander. Not a bad first induction, that's for sure. A lot of big, big names there. 56 years ago, 1963, Cleopatra, starring Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton, premiered in New York. It was one of Hollywood's most expensive productions, costing $44 million, which is estimated to be about $400 million in today's dollars. Wow, a lot of money there. 56 years ago, 1963, civil rights leader Medgar Evers was assassinated by a white supremacist in the driveway of his home. Then in 1996, Alec Baldwin was in a movie called Ghosts of Mississippi, which was about the killer's trial. And that very interesting movie, if you get a chance to see it, check it out. You will like it. 52 years ago, in 1967, interracial marriage became legal after the Supreme Court struck down state laws barring it. That's unbelievable. Give me a break.
I can't even believe people would fight that.
41 years, 1978, serial killer David Berkowitz was sentenced to 25 years to life for six Son of Sam murders in New York. He became a born-again Christian in 1987 and started calling himself the Son of Hope. He gets a parole hearing every 2 years, but he skips them because he doesn't think he should be released. Well, you're not the only one there, David.
Yeah, a lot of us agree with you.
A lot of us really do agree with you. I remember when all of that was unfolding back in 1978. I don't know, what was I, 17 years old at the time? I had a cousin that was a lot younger than me. If I was 18 at the time, she was probably, I don't know, 10 years old at the time, maybe 8 years old. And I remember my uncle saying to my father, we're having a lot of trouble with her. And he says, well, what do you mean? She's afraid to go to bed. She's afraid of Son of Sam. She won't go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to stay up with us, or we've got to sit with her before she'll fall asleep.
Yeah.
He says it's really getting out of hand. But it just, you know, you think the kids don't know what's going on, but they know what's going on. That's for sure.
You never know when they're watching.
You never know. You never know. 38 years ago, 1981, the first Indiana Jones movie, Raiders of the Ark, was released. I, for one, think that it's the best one out of all of them. Harrison Ford, one of my favorite actors, but let's face it, we really can't understand him all the time when he's speaking in the movies.
Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
She should talk a little louder, don't you think?
I feel like I've heard that line so many times because they used to have that featured in the Great Movie Ride in Disney World.
Ah.
And since they got rid of that, my sister doesn't know the reference at all because they got rid of that ride, but that was one of the highlights of that ride. If anybody has been on it before they got rid of it, it was very cool. So I always knew what he was saying just from that reference.
Oh, yeah.
Probably 75% of that movie, I have no clue what he's actually... Yeah. What he's muttering under his breath, I'm not too sure.
That was the first Raiders of the Lost Ark. In my opinion, the best. It's time now for a brand new feature, one that we like to call Random Knowledge. All right. right, some things that you might not have known. How about this? The U.S. has more millionaires than Sweden has people. There are more than 10.2 million American households that now have a net worth of over $1 million versus just under 10 million people in Sweden.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That actually is very shocking. No, I didn't expect you to say that, okay. Really.
You read the next one there.
First of all, I didn't even think Sweden had that. I mean, 10 million, it's not like that's nothing. That's a lot of people. The Hoover Dam is made of 4.36 million cubic yards of concrete. That's enough to make a highway from San Francisco to New York. Think about that.
Ah,
yikes.
That's a lot of concrete. Okay. And then finally, cans of Diet Coke float in water, but cans of regular Coke, they sink. It's because the sugar in Coke weighs 39 grams, and the sweetener in Diet Coke is 125 milligrams. That makes Coke denser, so it sinks.
Okay, so a full can. Okay, I thought you meant if there's an empty can just thrown out into the water, one will. Okay, I was thinking, oh my gosh, that is some heavy metal.
It has to have the soda in it, you see.
I believe it.
Yes, of course. All right, and that's this morning's edition of Random Knowledge. I saw this this morning, and I thought of you right away.
Aw, you thought of me.
Yes. According to a new survey, one out of three adults say they still sleep with a comfort object from their childhood, like a teddy bear.
Why did you think of me?
Or a blanket, because that's something that I think you would do. I think that you would do that. Now, this includes things like stuffed animals, a blanket, a special pillow. The survey also found that 41% of people have a nighttime ritual, including things like listening to music, watching a specific movie or TV show, reading a book, or eating a snack. And one out of four people have a strange trick that they use to fall asleep, including things like thinking about unicorns, that's Melissa, reading history books, and putting their legs up on the wall. There you go. All right.
Okay, well, for anybody out there who thought that it's now Tony and the kid, you just completely confirmed that. What am I, a 14-year-old?
Well, I'm just saying, they're saying that you don't have to be a kid to do this. These are grown adults that are well into their 30s or 40s.
The only ritual that I'm very big into is I'm very anal retentive about making sure I have a line of different nightlights ready for me when I get up at 3 a.m. So I need to make sure the nightlight is on in our bathroom. There's the nightlight on right by our door when I leave my bedroom. There's the nightlight on in the hallway to get to the kitchen. There's the nightlight on in the kitchen to make sure I can get my lunch. And there's the nightlight right at the front door so that I can walk out and lock it.
Okay, you've got that OCD thing, don't you? What is that?
Correct. OCD. Yes.
Okay. These are my rituals. Take off all my clothes and just throw them on the floor in a corner. Get into bed, and I sleep with my favorite object each and every night. That would be my wife.
Your wife,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Well, I mean, eventually my husband shows up, but not right away. It's usually not till like 11 o'clock. So, I mean, when I wake up in the morning, he is definitely there and snoring. But no, I go to bed by myself. I don't sleep with anything. I just sleep. I just need to know that my lights, my trail of lights are ready for me, because if one light is off, no joke, I will have a possible minor panic attack. And no one needs that at 3 a.m.
Okay. That's understandable. I mean, Everybody's got their thing. My wife and I, we go to bed every afternoon at the same time, usually at around 10 after 4.
You're so precious. I can't stand it.
And my wife is always like, I says, I'm going to go upstairs. You could stay down here if you want. No. I'll come up with you. No. We stick together. We always stick together. And we do. And I'm falling asleep within 20 minutes. And she's watching her shows until around 9 o'clock. And then that's the end of that.
Okay, so wait. So you guys go to bed what time?
But like 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Wait, but so she'll stay in bed and just like wait till you go to bed, and then she'll just stay up there and watch TV
She'll watch TV until 9 o'clock.
Oh,
right?
She's amazing.
We watch David Muir. That's her favorite. She wants to see that. We watch Jeopardy,
of course.
And then after that, it's all her. I mean, we watch She watches 90 Day Fiancé. She watches the Kelly Ripa. She records all of these shows. And she watches each and every one of them every night.
It's so. Actually, I think you're kind of doing a service for her in the sense that you have to go to bed and she wants to spend time with you because you guys have been apart all day at work. And you're making sure that it's, hey, I got to get into bed. And if we're going to stay together, it makes sure that she has her own, her time. Because
right.
you're sleeping, so she gets to enjoy a couple of her shows, completely right. quiet, and just enjoy and relax every day.
We lay there,
I'm jealous.
We lay there in bed, and she's watching TV, and I'll want to talk. I'll talk about things, you know. And she's going to be like, as soon as I get a couple of things out, she'll go like this. Why aren't you asleep yet?
I get
what do
that.
You mean? Don't you want to talk? We talked already. We
We're
talked
done
enough.
With that.
We're done. I'm tired. That's what I usually get. A couple of days ago, I don't know if you saw this, but Justin Bieber challenged 56-year-old Tom Cruise to a fight.
This.
Now, somebody came up with a new social media game challenging celebrities 31 years older than you to a fight. And one guy noted that one of his potential opponents is Liam Neeson. I don't know. I would pass on Liam Neeson mm-hmm. because I'm telling you, he will find you and he will kill you. All right?
Exactly.
This was kind of weird. I don't know. There's one woman, she psyched that she finally has the chance to kick 72-year-old Sally Fields' butt. Now, why would you want to kick Sally Fields' butt?
What did Sally Fields do to you?
What did she ever do? She's the flying nun. Come on.
Oh, my Lord.
Come on. Another guy dared 66-year-old Jeff Goldblum to catch these hands, whatever that means. And there's a dude who goes by the name of Blaine Kapach. He told 84-year-old Sophia Loren to, quote, catch me if you can, whatever that means.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. And just a word of warning to all of you 36-year-olds, choose wisely because your list of potential opponents does include Liam Neeson, and you don't want any of that. Now, I know he's just a movie star and all of that. Maybe he's a wuss in real life.
I don't think so.
I mean, he comes across like a pretty tough dude.
I would think, especially when you see I don't know. There are certain people that I think they cast on purpose to be that persona, and you don't really see them as anything else. It's the same way I feel about the Hemsworth brothers. Mm-hmm. I could probably take Liam Hemsworth. I feel pretty confident about that. However, I would never take on Chris Hemsworth. I mean, the man is Thor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
come on now.
Sure. Yeah,
you know, they're just certain people that you think, you know, that's probably how you are in real life. Maybe he's a goofball. I don't know. But he seems like he could wreck someone. So, I wouldn't go up against Liam Neeson. You couldn't pay me. Sorry.
Well, you know, most of Liam Neeson's movies, I've seen them all. And except for a select few, each and every time.
He's a tough guy.
He is rough.
That's like Kevin Costner.
Yep.
He reminds me of Kevin Costner. That's another one. I wouldn't, no way. Bodyguard for a reason. Not going to, nope, not doing it.
There you go.